performer's new video. And if I ever record an album, I want this guy to produce make me beautiful duets. Because he's freaking genius!
That was Too Soon.
Seconds after the hour of 11 in this month of February in the year of our Lord 2007. Thank you for coming by, making a part of your listening day. We are live from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of AM 970, Silent State Radio. Thank you for coming by. It's Friday and welcome to day 12. This is the Rick Emerson Cavalcade of Whimsy. Thank you for being part of it. It's 503-733-2970. If you'd like to engage with us telephonically in a super telepsychotronic sort of way, as Commander USA used to say, it's 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like with your comments, your clarifications, your conventions, your 2 cents, your completely unfounded and baseless speculation about the nature of the relationship between Anna Nicole Smith and her son.
Like her body.
That is too soon. That was creeping me yesterday.
That is creepy.
It's totally creepy.
That is the single creepiest thing.
Because when you play it for some reason, I just picture a skeleton with hair. And I don't mean that figuratively, like a girl who's underfed. I mean, I literally just picture her skeleton with a wig on top, just kind of mini Pearl style. Anyway.
Like my body.
503-733-2970. God almighty. It's 503-733-2970. We begin today's program. It is Friday here from the brand new studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio on First Avenue. You can also email today. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. We'll do some other things here in a second. And we got a bunch of stuff to get to even in this first segment. But today, I will say this. These are among the items we will be getting to on today's exciting broadcast. Anna Nicole Smith, still dead. Media, still shallow. Us, still part of it. No different than anyone else. So we'll be talking about... And we'll do it as a proper snuff watch today. It's so tempting. It's so hard not to blurt out the phrase.
Save it.
You just add her to the list. And that's the most shameful way to go out, too. You know what I mean? There's no less glamorous way to go out than that. Well, anyway. So we'll talk about Anna Nicole Smith today. The emails have already started coming in. Like Chris Sneathan emailed me earlier. Now, where the hell is his email? Right here. Here we go. This is from our good friend Chris Sneathan, who writes for OregonLive.com. He's got this. Rick, Anna Nicole Smith is not the Marilyn Monroe of this generation. It's an insult to Marilyn Monroe, and I will not have it. And then he continues, because Joe DiMaggio isn't around anymore, it is up to me to beat the ass of anyone who says otherwise. Just so you know. Sneedon. Elijah, and I'll tell you this right now. I was walking by. We have a little... Our television here in the studio isn't up quite yet. We are going to have a Scotty J.S. flat panel screen on the wall directly behind me to my right here in a while. For now, we don't have a TV, but I was walking by the tech room back there, and there was a television going. And I'll tell you what, I didn't need to hear the context. I didn't need to hear what was before it or after it. I didn't need to see the tag on the screen. I didn't need to read the caption, the chyron. I walked by the screen, and it's one shallow, plasticky-looking anchor person talking to another shallow, plasticky-looking anchor person on E, and this is what the phrase was. And it was sort of a dot, dot, dot before and after. Because, again, I only heard this as I was on my way to take a whiz. And so I just walked by and I just heard the half a sentence. And here's what I heard as I was walking by. On the E channel, this phrase floating through the air toward me. And it's really creepy when you look at them, even in some of her mannerisms. And you know that's what that's all about.
Oh, come on.
You know, you totally know that that's about the Marilyn Monroe thing. It's that the myth-making has already begun. The mechanisms have already sprung into place, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway, it's 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's Rick at rickemerson.com. Today we have a corpse watch. It's not Anna Nicole Smith, though. We have a corpse watch, but I think it's from Australia. I'm not entirely sure about that. It is incredibly disturbing because it does contain the phrase, it groped them for many hours. And we meant to get to that. There was a whole bunch of stuff we meant to get to yesterday, and then we didn't because Anna... You listen back to yesterday's program, by the way, and it's a little weird because in the space of about 5 minutes, Anna Nicole Smith, as far as our world goes, it goes from being alive to being dead. Dead, dead, dead. Because first she was alive, then she collapsed, and then about 90 seconds later she was dead, and then she was dead the rest of the day. And it's just bizarre. When I walked in here yesterday, Anna Nicole Smith, alive. By about 1:15, not so much. Anyway. And man, and life moves fast. You know that commercial, that Kevin Federline thing? Life moves fast, and then he's like dishing up fries. Seriously, 2 days ago, Anna Nicole Smith was, I don't know, ingesting massive amounts of drugs and hanging out. And now she's, man, now she's being parted out like an old Hyundai already. I'm waiting on that. And for what purpose? That's what I don't understand. I don't even understand what they're doing the autopsy for. It doesn't seem like that nutcase husband of hers is going to let them do anything. Well, in any event, so we got the corpse watch. Today's top five, and we will get to this today. Come hell or hell, high water, we will get to today's top five. Top five AC/DC songs they ought to play in the radio, but do not. In honor of Malcolm Young's birthday. Scott Daly's going to be here from FilmFeverRadio.com with a review of a movie that you almost don't need. I mean, you don't need a review of it. The only reason to hear the review is to find out exactly how awful the film is. Strangely enough, I am more tempted to see Hannibal Rising than I was to see Hannibal. Or Red Dragon, which I didn't really care about either. The only movie in the series has been any good as Silence of the Lambs. Manhunter was okay. Manhunter was like a British version of Red Dragon. Anyway, the point is that new Hannibal Lecter film is out now, and it's just like, looks like the worst thing ever. It looks terrible. It looks, though, so awful that I think it might actually become entertaining at some point. So Scott Daly's going to be here to talk about Hannibal Rising, or whatever the hell it's called. Is that what it's called? Hannibal Rising, Young Hannibal?
Hannibal Rising.
All right. Hannibal goes cookie, whatever it is. What else? Ed McCarthy is going to join us about Anna Nicole Smith. Lisa Goddard will join us about something other than Anna Nicole Smith. And Jim Roop will talk to us about the Grammy Awards, which no one cares about. We will have him on.
And Anna Nicole Smith.
And I was going to say, we'll have him on, really, though, to talk about Anna Nicole Smith. We will get to the worst song you've ever heard. And by request, and because it now does seem appropriate, we'll play that that Borderline Baby song. We'll do that maybe like in the 1 o'clock hour or something. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's Rick at rickemerson.com. We're joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon.
Oh, my God. This story is just...
Oh, it's fantastic.
It's amazing. Did you... I don't want to ruin anything in case we have this in the news pile, but I mean, all these ridiculous speculations and whatnot...
That everybody somehow knows already. That's the thing. That is the greatness of the Internet. It's like a week ago, none of us had ever speculated about that relationship between her and her son. And now... Yes.
Did you read the thing about Zsa Zsa Gabor?
No.
Now, her husband is claiming that he's the father of Anna Nicole Smith.
I should totally claim that I'm the father. I should totally put out a press release, like, today, claiming that I'm the father. You sons of bitches, that's my idea. Bastards. Whoever you are. My imaginary enemies that are constantly plotting and scheming against me. I should totally do that. I should have a... Susan Reynolds, can we begin drafting a press release in which Rick Emerson admits that he is the father?
Oh, you're a kooky radio guy. Look at you.
Tim Riley's working on the following stories for your edification today. Well, it's hard keeping up with all this stuff today. But we do know for sure that she choked on her own vomit. Fantastic. And my computer is just crashing every time I push something.
Well, that's okay.
There are plenty of other stories here, just on the day when we need it the most. So we have plenty of Anna Nicole Smith stuff coming up. And other than that, I'll get things working here in just a little while.
The Anna Nicole Smith thing is just, it is a cornucopia of news stories. Because just in the last 24 hours, I mean, the twists and turns.
We've got to use most of them today because we can't keep talking about this for weeks and weeks.
Well, no, because, and that's the thing is, people will be sick of it, I mean, by the end of today. By the end
end of the day that we will have reached our saturation point. But I just want to say right up front now that if you were tuning in today expecting an Anna Nicole Smith free show because she died during yesterday's program, you, my friend, are sorely mistaken. That will not be happening. Now, we do have other things to get to. Okay? We are going to play this terrible, terrible Red Hot Pistols song. I shouldn't say that. This Red Hot Pistols song, which was ruined by some terrible singing over the top of it, and I now have to clarify, by the way, Rick Emerson has to make a little bit of a retraction. I mentioned yesterday that this Red Hot Pistols song is this band that wants us to find a new lead singer for them. They want us to discover a new singer because they don't have a singer right now. They had sent me an instrumental version of the song, and then they sent me a version with singing over the top of it. And I said that it was the worst thing I'd ever heard. And that it was probably not only the worst song I'd ever heard, but maybe the worst noise of any kind ever at all in any known galaxy, and that it was their old lead singer. Apparently, it is not their old lead singer. Apparently, their former lead singer is not the person on the song. He is a listener to this radio program and might have had his feelings hurt when I suggested that he never sing anywhere again. Although Jesse did note, screw him, he's a bitch anyway. So that's between you and you and Jesse, my friend. But apparently, the song we're going to play today is actually not their old lead singer. It is a guy who auditioned for them, though. So, who might also be a listener, but dude, you can't sing. That's just a fact. So, we'll get to that. Well, let's just get this, first of all. It's 503-733-2970. John, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick. I think I got you on here.
Hello, sir.
You're really quiet, man. I can barely hear you.
Hello, sir.
Oh, anyway, hey, I got my cousin who is a paramedic in Hollywood, Florida there.
Uh-huh.
And we were just there actually last week, and he took me around the station, and I realized that there's only two fire stations in Hollywood, and in his station there's only two rescues, which are ambulances. So I thought when I first heard about the Anna Nicole thing in Hollywood, I was like, holy crap, maybe he was there. So I called him up, and unfortunately it was his station, but it was the guys on his ship, but there was the other ambulance that was there. But they were telling me that Anna Nicole Smith only has one nipple.
That's okay. You're just screwing with me now.
I can't hear you. What?
Hey, you're just screwing with me now.
No, I swear to God,
dude,
I swear to you.
How many times have we seen her nude in Playboy?
Well, who knows? Maybe she's having some surgery done lately.
Oh, well, that is true. We're such bad people. Listen to how we're contributing to the pile of ill-founded gossip and baseless speculation already permeating these airwaves.
This is like secondhand, man. I'm hearing this almost directly from the guys who suck, so I trust them. But
you heard it from a guy who works with the guy who answered the call.
Yes.
And he said, now again, the Rick Emerson Show is taking this information with no way to ascertain its accuracy. We have only the word of John here to go on. This could be completely fabricated for all we know. So you're saying that the word you hear is that Anna Nicole Smith only had, at the time of her death, one nipple.
Yeah, they also said she was unrecognizable. It just looked like her, but
that's true, because she didn't. I mean, there was a picture that they had on her, they had on Yahoo.com of her all yesterday, and it didn't look anything like the Anna Nicole Smith. Because I think if you go to my MySpace page today, people have posted a few great Anna Nicole Smith pictures from kind of the peak of her career. They posted those on my MySpace page, and man, it just brings back how gorgeous she was. But yeah, by the end of her life, she looked like a bad sort of Lonnie Anderson, kind of a weird robotics on a kind of animatronic thing going on, where her face was too small and her cheeks were too high and not enough skin to cover everything. And so, all right, thank you. That's John. Thank you, John. Appreciate that. All right, well, there you go. Well, who knows? Because she had, because the saga of Anna Nicole Smith's breasts, that's what somebody ought to write. Somebody ought to write an autobiography of her told from the point of view of her breasts. I would buy that.
That is the dumbest idea ever.
I'd buy it and I'd read it. No. You know that that would get attention, and idiots would buy it. You know it's true. And it would just be blah, 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 you know. My life. The story of Anna Nicole's right bosom. Come on, if you saw that in the store for $4.99,
It, okay, like, $4.99 yet.
And it was a paperback book, and it was the autobiography of Anna Nicole Smith's right breast. You would completely purchase such a book. Because the saga of Anna Nicole Smith and her cleavage, which is an important saga to all men my age, is long and twisted, because for the longest time she denied having implants. It seems ridiculous now when you look at those weird photos of her, which, you know, she's going up and down in breast sizes like some sort of weird pneumatic pump. But back in like 93, 94, 95, her claim was that she just had kids and then she got the pregnancy test and then it just never went away, which is what all women say. That's what every woman, that is like the go. Here's the two go-to excuses for women when they don't want to admit that they've had breast implants, which is nothing to be ashamed of. The one is that you got pregnant and your breast just stayed that size. The other is, I'm on the pill. That's the other thing. Women will say they've gone on the pill and that's why their breasts
have
suddenly...
It's true.
I'm not saying it's not true.
Okay.
Wait, what?
When you go on the pill, your boobs get bigger.
By a factor of what, Sarah? I don't mean to let. Would you say it's a... What, now, is it...
size.
Is it a full cup size?
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. I didn't know
that. You also put on weight, too.
Now, is it weight... So you put on weight all over.
Yeah, I think you put on average like 5 to 10 pounds.
Okay, so is it...
Because your body's preparing, you know, for pregnancy, because birth control kind of tricks your body into thinking that you're already pregnant.
Is that what it does?
Mm-hmm.
I don't really know how it works. I just know that it works. The birth control pill is sort of like a microwave oven. I don't really know how it works, but I don't really need to know. It's that, you know what I mean? I'm more of a destination kind of guy. I'm not a journey kind of guy. Well, fantastic. Anyway, blah, 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 blah. I'm on the pill. That's but Anna Nicole Smith, though. If you see photographs of her from when she was like a fry cook, or when she was with the fry cook, or whatever the hell she was doing, I don't know how she made it as a topless dancer, because she was like an ironing board, man. She was absolutely flat. And then she was like a double D, I think, by the time she became Playmate of the Year. And that just doesn't happen because you pushed out a child. I don't care how many Fritos you're eating. That's not going to take place. So, anyway, in just the last 24 hours, we've had... I'm just going to go ahead and mention some of this stuff here, because you're going to hear it regardless. You're going to hear it from me, or you're going to hear it on the street. And then Tim will expand on this, or expound. I never know which it is. I think he will expound...
Sounds like you're trying to say expand the man thong way.
David Bowie. He will expound, I think, and then by means of expounding, he will then expand on the news. I think that's how that works. Anyway, so I'll just go ahead and give you some of the overviews. Here's the thing about her and her oldest son. What was her oldest kid's name? David?
Daniel.
So... And by the way, I should say that everything I'm about to say is pure speculation, and we have no base for saying any of it. This is, in fact, just made up, to the best of our knowledge. But the big three things that we've heard in the last 24 hours are that she had what might be referred to as a biblical relationship with her oldest son. And why have we all latched onto that? I mean, I've heard more people tell me that in the last 24, you know, she and her oldest son were getting it on, and that's where that baby came from. I'm not saying it's true. I'm not saying it's not true. I'm saying that's a thing that really can't be known by me at this time. But it just seemed weird that that's a thing that everybody has suddenly latched onto. Like, of all of the weird conspiracies and all of the strange theories you could come up with about Anna Nicole Smith's death, why would everybody come up with the fact that she was scooping her son? It just doesn't make any sense. Well, whatever. She choked on vomit, apparently, which is a bad way to go. That's the least glamorous way you could possibly go. Somebody told Sarah this morning that Anna... And here you go. You can see the little hands of myth making it work. Somebody told Sarah this morning that Anna Nicole Smith had slept with a Kennedy. Probably not an important Kennedy. Not a Kennedy that matters, anyway. Anyway, so there's that. Jeff, for the love of Jesus, God almighty, we have got to find a way to stop that from happening, because it never quits being unnerving. All right, so there you go. So that's what we've got. It's 503, yes?
All right, no, and so Howard Kitchen and her were not married.
I thought they got married in Bali, Belize, or the Bahamas, or Bahrain.
Like a hippie vow ceremony.
So it's like a Mick Jagger, Jerry Hall thing, where a guy just waved his hands around and went, ooga booga, you know, a guy with a bone in his nose jumped on one foot.
Yeah, because in her final interview, she talked about how she planned to legally marry Howard Kitchen.
That's why he's trying to hold on to the kid, then. That totally explains it. That's exactly why he's holding on to the kid.
Can you picture that guy being a father?
I can't picture, I mean, I guess I can picture him having sex with Anna Nicole Smith. I mean, I don't want to, but I suppose I can. Although I picture it's a whole lot of, like, like, call me daddy.
Is this the guy on the Family Guy?
A leather mask. What?
Is this the guy on the Family Guy that's always shipping everything?
You know, I don't really watch the Family Guy, which makes me a bad 34-year-old white man.
Well, that's who Howard Kitzman looks like.
I don't really watch that. I don't watch that, and I watch American Dad, and I know that I'm supposed to, and I know that everybody in the audience recoils with horror when I say that I don't watch Family Guy, but I just don't think that show grates on me for some reason. I don't know why. I should watch it, but I just don't. There's a whole list of things I ought to be watching, and the Family Guy, I just don't really find all that funny, but I know that demographically speaking, I'm supposed to watch it. Well, we should break here, but I'm just going to make this up one observation, which is that if they're not legally married, that makes even more sense. I'm not watching The Ghost Whisperer, Scotty. Just knock it off. No, in you know universe am I ever going to watch The Ghost Whisperer. Life is too short. That's why he's fighting so hard for that kid, though. If they're not legally married, then, I mean, because she's still fighting with, J. Howard Marshall's family over that $1.6 billion. How sad that we're all just become instant experts in this. It's not that we just know everything there is to know about this. I don't even know who most of my elected representatives are. Whatever. We'll break. We'll come back. Lisa Goddard later on. Scotty J's Suburban Perspective. The top five. Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. It all begins next on the Rick Emerson Radio Program.
She's a little unstable. She has her mood swings. She manipulates me like a puppet on strings. She's abusive and hostile and loving and sweet. It's a fatal attraction. She's my borderline baby. She acts like she's two when I won't buy her toys. She's a little delusional and paranoid. She's helpless and hopeless emotionally. She's a girl interrupted. She's my borderline.
Hello. One ticket, please. Aisle seat. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. There you go. There's a borderline baby. It's 503-733-2970. You can also email us, rick@rickemerson.com. Coming up at noon today, we have the AM 970 noon news hour with Tim Riley. Later on, CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop. We'll also be talking to CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy. Scott Daly from FilmFeverRadio.com will be here with his review of Hannibal Rising, which looks terrible. We'll do the top five. We'll do the suburban perspective and so forth. Let me just get a couple. Is this Lisa? Scott, I'm looking at the screen. All right. Well, again, let me just read a couple of these. Well, then we have no. Okay. Well, then we got to make a note to ourselves when we're done talking to Lisa. Then we got to talk to Scotty. Let me just read a couple of these, and we'll bring Lisa Goddard onto the program here. Rick, I thought I would come clean and tell the world that I am the father of Anna Nicole Smith's baby. Says Mike. It happened one hot night in Vegas. I saw her. She saw me, and I knew at that moment she would be mine. After a few pulls on the nickel slots and two trips through the all-you-can-eat buffet, extra ham, it was time for Mr. Mike to get busy. I gave Anna Nicole the best 2.5 minutes of loving a woman has ever had. Now I'm off to the Bahamas to bitch slap that ambulance-chasing husband of hers later, Mike. How about this? Rick, riddle me this. Whose celebrity death will last longer in the media and popular consciousness? Anna Nicole Smith or Steve Irwin? I don't know. Hard to say. Because he had
I can already see the Halloween costume of Anna Nicole Smith.
Well, you remember when Jen Lane went as Anna Nicole a couple years ago.
She's an awesome Anna Nicole.
She's fantastic. She can use the same costume. Just add vomit. Let's see.
So wrong.
Anna Nicole Smith is no Marilyn Monroe unless she's been with two mob bosses, a president, an attorney general, and Sammy Davis Jr. Unless she's done that, she has no claim to be Marilyn Monroe. If anything, she was the large-breasted, blonde, zaftig female version of Ozzy Osbourne. You know it's true. And then we're getting submissions already for the... Rick, if Anna Nicole Smith slept with a Kennedy, with Jamie Kennedy, and now we're getting suggestions for the movie about Anna Nicole Smith's life. I will not belabor the point, though. Well, at least not now. I'll belabor the point later. I'll belabor the point after like 8 minutes with Lisa Goddard, where I can pretend that I'm sophisticated and above this sort of lowest common denominator pandering.
Even Holden can hear everything you're saying.
Which I am not. I'm just going to say this, though, just one final observation. This is from our good friend Todd, who says, Rick, ever since I pointed out yesterday the unholy creepiness of Anna Nicole saying, like my body, I've been trying to figure out why it's so horrifying to listen to. I think it's because when she gets to the final word, body, her voice has a horrifying quiver in it. When you listen...
Like my body.
She says, Todd says rather, it sounds like her diaphragm just stops pushing air or something, and her brain just suddenly short circuits for a second. It's all very oogie. Yes, sir. It is all very oogie. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. From the Hill, CNN radio correspondent, fashionably attired and with a head full of thoughts and things and speculation and hypotheses and postulations and whatnot. It's Lisa Goddard. Hello.
Hi.
Hi, how you doing today?
Rick, thank you for caring. I feel like the Maytag repairman. I feel like people could care less what is going on in Congress because of Anna Nicole.
No. Rick Emerson cares. Lisa Goddard. Rick Emerson is all about... Okay, now I am not going to pretend that I am smarter than I am or that I'm plugged into some sort of higher consciousness, but I can find, I can find dirt, I can find entropy and discord anywhere. I don't need Anna Nicole Smith around to give me that.
Oh.
So that's what I'm saying. It's like I can find entertainment value. I can find compelling content in any story. So while others may look at this CNN prep sheet and they see Anna Nicole Smith and perhaps the Grammys and that's all they see, Rick Emerson sees deeper. He looks into the stories. He reads between the lines and he sees that there are compelling observations and stories to be told from all states, from everywhere in this colored tapestry that is the United States, including Washington, D.C.
Hey, well, I'm going to undermine myself right from the beginning. I got to get this out of the way. Well, two things I got to get out of the way. First of all, did you realize that James Brown still not buried?
Is that true?
Yes.
Are you effing with me?
No, I'm not. No, he still died, of course, December 25th. The body still not in the ground. Disputes over where he should be buried.
I think I speak for everybody when I say WTF, because that doesn't make any... I mean, exactly. Seriously, I doesn't... Okay, Look, I know the medical the technology and science, and I know we've made tremendous advances in that you can keep a Twinkie out on a shelf for like 1,000 years, but James Brown, no Twinkie. I don't understand. I mean, at this point, they won't even need to bury him. They just need to make sure that he's not upriver and he's free of any downspouts. You know what I mean? I mean, come on.
Right, so there actually, now there will be probably, it will be a sort of, maybe some Vegas odds on who will get buried first.
Okay, so, so horrifying. And it's so horrifying that it's probably true. Okay, well,
legal disputes. There are legal disputes going on over who should control his body and where it should go and all of that.
But I mean, how much could you? I mean, at a certain point, just the desire to get rid of the stench seems like it would override any sort of familial dispute that may be happening.
I think so.
And so, first of all, how do you know this?
It's actually, I was reading a story about it. There is a story on the Wire, I think yesterday, that was about that.
All right, and secondly. I guess there is no second. Well, secondly, how long can you keep a guy not buried? Well, I guess Lennon wasn't buried. But I mean, they had it. That guy did. Although Lennon was looking a little green at the end, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. He was actually embalmed. Yeah, and you know, I saw Lennon's body in Moscow, and I'll tell you, it looked like maybe a nickel worth of that skin was the original stuff.
I mean, where is Lennon's body now? By the way,
you know, I don't know because he might still be in that mausoleum, but I don't know. That's a good question.
It might have been like...
It's just closed. I don't know.
It's like Lennon's body is sort of like... It's just one of those fascinating things to me that... I mean, the Soviet Union or the former Soviet Union, and now we're really, really off the point, but the Soviet Union is really fascinating to me, the former Soviet Union, the Kremlin, because... I don't know, because you get the idea, even more so than with the American government, that there really are just endless long tunnels and twists and vaults and warehouses and catacombs. Like, you really feel like they probably do have the Ark of the Covenant stashed somewhere. Like, there's a basement somewhere in a Kremlin where right next to Lenin's body is, like a tire that'll last for 5 million miles and like an alien floating in a jar. I just get the feeling that the Soviets had all of that stuff sitting around. So,
all right, so with James Brown, his body has been embalmed, so that helps a little bit, somewhat. And and apparently there's a court appearance today between he's got his 6 kids and then the trustees of his estate, and apparently there's a lot of arguments over who the trustees are that he set up, and the kids aren't happy with that.
Do you ever get the feeling that some of these celebrities died just so they can avoid all these legal entanglements that have to do with all of the kids that they sprayed all over the country? I mean, it's just...
Gotta wonder.
I mean, well, I read something. James Brown had... He has these 6 kids, but I think there's like 2 more somebody said that they had that, like, aren't even included. Like, they're not even in the will. Like, they sort of were... It was sort of like a you must be before... James Brown must have fathered you before this date to be... It's like when you go into the convenience store and it's, you know, if you were born after today's date in 1985, we will not sell you cigarettes. Apparently, there's some cutoff point for, if your mother, who was, happened to be in Spokane, Washington at the right time, had an affair with James Brown, it must have been before 1991, because they interviewed some woman, like some 8-year-old kid who I guess received child support payments, but that's going to be about it. So,
right.
Well, fantastic. Well, I'll be sure to check in with you occasionally. We should just do a weekly, like, checking on whether or not James Brown is buried.
It's buried, okay. We can work on that. So, and Lennon's body apparently still in Moscow. You can still go see it.
All right, fantastic.
Apparently still shuffle by if you want.
But you don't really believe it's that you think that over time they've sort of swapped out most of Lennon's parts with Folger's crystals.
Yeah, he's a little waxy. Who knows? You know, he does have the suit on, so you really don't see a lot of exposed skin anyway. But it was not skin-like material. Of course, who knows?
Skin-like material. Is that like when they advertise Velveeta as being a cheese-like substance?
Exactly. Right, okay, so we're completely off the subject. I have another question for you. Did you interview Rachel McGrath at some point this week?
Maybe.
Because I heard some scuttlebutt from her people.
Oh, no. What have you heard?
Did you in fact call her Rebecca?
Oh.
I'm just saying that I don't think that they were happy about that.
I don't have access to that information at this time. I cannot recall.
I'm just saying it's working its way around the system.
Mistakes were made.
I've been hearing about that. That's all.
There was some unpleasantness. About that.
Good.
First of all, I was a little thrown. We might as well just talk about this. So I was a little thrown by the whole Rachel McGrath thing, anyway, because You know, we've been talking to Jim Roop for a long time. Jim Roop, I think, actually is the at this point now is the CNN correspondent we've been talking to for the longest.
Gary Baumgarten.
Yeah, and like, and Bisney moved on to some other things as well, and da 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 da. So we've, you know, we have a long, storied relationship with Jim Roop, who we love, and. Anyway, so I pick up the prep sheet one day, and it doesn't say, like, Jim's on vacation or Jim will be augmented by. It just said, like, you know, talk to Rachel McGrath in L.A. And, of course, then you start to think, well, what's going on? Has Jim been hit by a meteorite? What's going, you know, what's the deal? And so I was just a little sort of, I don't know, a little off kilter about the whole thing anyway. And, you know, I always have this duality with me where when somebody new at CNN comes on the radio program, we went through this with Brian Blank, we went through this with Bob Costantini, where on the one hand, I want their experience to be a pleasant one. On the other hand, you know, we do a radio program that is perhaps not like the other radio programs that the CNN folks deal with. And so, you know, this is, you know, I try to put a lot of work in this. I'm not going to say that I stress about it, but I like, you know, but it's, I you know, it is a thing that I take seriously. And she comes on and she's totally disarming because she's got this British accent. And she's funny and, you know, she's, you know, she's very well informed. She sounded great on the show. And so I get all, and it was at the worst possible moment. It was right at the end. It was at the end. It was like some horrible Curb Your Enthusiasm episode come to life because we made it through, like, I don't know, probably 8-9 minutes of kind of back and forth and give and take. And I used all my A material, and she giggled at the appropriate moments, and the audience was both amused and informed. And then, at the end, literally, as I'm pressing the button to sort of terminate the call, I'm like, "Well, that was great. Thank you, Rebecca. We appreciate." And I said it twice in like 3 seconds.
Classic.
It was really my proudest moment as a man.
Awesome.
Yeah. Thanks, Rebecca. Rebecca McGrath, ladies and gentlemen. And that it was that. Sort of like a miniature horror movie unfolding in slow motion right in front of you where I hit the drop button on the phone, the red light goes out, and as the red light goes out, the little light in my head goes on that says, hey, dolt, you just called her Rebecca when her name is Rachel. And then you get that sort of, you know, like, no. And I went so far. This is how lame I am and how desperate for the approval of others that I am, that I actually went and I picked the phone back up to see if she was still there. And then I just got that fast, busy, gone.
Yes.
And then she wasn't there. And then we haven't talked to her since then. And so now she'll probably never be scheduled again. And I will go to my grave just flagellating myself about the fact that I blew my first impression.
Yeah, she's a tough cookie. I think she can handle it, but, you know, I'm just saying that the word is out on that.
Thanks. Rick Emerson equals tool. Great. Fantastic. Wonderful. Well, that's a great way to end the week, Lisa. Thanks. I appreciate that. Thanks for being the bearer of good news and being a real upper on this Friday for me.
Well, you know, I want it to be just that.
For the love of God. Speaking of ending the week on an upper, this... The Democrats just continue to flail around in their pool of their own incompetence. And I'm not going to dwell about the actual resolution stating that, like, we are really going to have this breath-holding resolution, which is basically what it is, where the Democrats are going to stamp their feet on the floor and refuse to eat their pudding about George Bush putting us further into Iraq. But I'm seizing on this sentence where it says, the Senate won't take up the issue again until after their 2.5-week recess. How long have they been at work?
They started January 4th, and they've had at least 2 weeks that were short weeks because of party retreats. So I don't know the number of days.
They don't really seem like they ought to be taking 2.5 weeks off at this point.
Yeah, how about that? You know what's amazing is that they really have been, they've put in many more hours than the previous Congress up to this point in the year.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're taking off for President's Day, and that's what they do every year.
Well,
say that it's right, but yeah, you are.
As long as their shoulders to the grindstone there, long as they're there every single day at the crack of dawn trying to get stuff done. right above that, it's just all good news today. Right above that, the chairman of the Senate Armed Services Committee says, wait for it. I know this will come as a huge shock to everybody. Pentagon investigations of pre-Iraq war intelligence is very damning because intelligence was purposely distorted. Purposely distorted is a long way of saying that they were just making crap up to sell the war. But this is really meaningless, right? Because no one's ever going to be held accountable for this, and nobody's ever going to be punished, and no one's ever going to have to face any consequences of this.
Oh, I wish I could argue with you. There is something in me that says you must argue for justice. But,
not going to happen.
You know, no, I don't think so. I don't think anyone. And the fact of the matter is that in that same Senate hearing this morning, it was fascinating. Republicans were making a case. And I think they have a little bit of a case here, I've got to admit, to say that, well, intelligence is subjective and the Pentagon was drawing its own conclusions. They thought what they were doing was right based on they really interpreted it this way. And they knew that the rest of the intelligence community disagreed with them, but Republicans made the case that this really wasn't wasn't trying to fix the intelligence to get to an end point as much as it was a disagreement of opinion. But nonetheless, whether it was that, which is sort of the best case that Republicans have offered at this point, or not, the fact is that the Pentagon went beyond the usual rules of how you deal with intelligence, and they presented their version to the White House without really clarifying that there was a large body of other experts, in fact, most of the intelligence community, that disagreed with them, specifically on the relationship between Saddam Hussein and al-Qaeda, which has never been proven. And in fact, the basis of the thought that there was a relationship has been disproven. They thought there was a meeting, and it's been proven that that actually, or it's been concluded that that actually never occurred. But anyway, the point is that they didn't follow the proper channels, and they made some of their own analysis without vetting it through the normal process, blah, blah, blah. So that's why you get today's report.
Well, so this is, I think it's a weird question, though. So let's say we fast forward to whatever, January 21st, 2009, and George W. Bush is gone. Whoever is in there replacing him, is all of this going to make it easier or harder for future presidents just to decide that some place needs bombing? In other words, the fact that he just, you know, sort of did it without really having any logical, factual basis for it, if it depends on how you look at it, is that going to make it easier for a future president to go, well, George Bush did it, so by the same logic, I am going to go invade like Zagreb? Or is it going to make it harder? Is every military action now just going to be under insane amounts of scrutiny?
Yeah, I think in the short term, it makes it a lot harder. And I think that there's reason for that. Because of where we are, from where we started, that the reasons for this war were never proven, that there was never weapons of mass destruction found, there was never any proof that there was a relationship between Saddam and al-Qaeda. And those were the stated reasons for getting into this war. Whatever other reasons anyone in the administration may have had, those were the stated reasons went to the UN with. So, I think it makes it a lot harder.
By the way, I should read this. Rick, about Rachel McGrath, you might as well come clean about the rest. This guy's emails, he says, Rick, at the beginning of the interview with Rachel, she told you that she had been working in Los Angeles for 11 years. In the immediately ensuing question, you asked her how long she had been working in Los Angeles. She repeated the 11-year-old information as though she were speaking to an elderly aunt with Alzheimer's. That was the best part of your interview and the best part of my week. Your faithful listener, Frank. Thanks, Frank.
Yes. Oh, I like Frank.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah, we all like Frank. He's a peach. Yeah, so there you go. So there's more water cooler chat, more things for everyone to titter at around the campfire when discussing Rick Emerson. All right. Well, we've covered everything. The fact that there's a nickel worth of Lennon's original skin to Rachel McGrath to al-Qaeda whatever. So, all right.
Real quick, just let folks pay attention. House next week picking up their Iraq debate, but a big snowstorm is on its way to Washington, so we'll see if they show up.
Well, really, at this point, I'm really only going to be focused on the James Brown aspect of our phone calls. That really is going to be my priority from now on. All right, Lisa Goddard, ladies and gentlemen, have a great weekend. We will talk to you in the immediate future.
Excellent.
There you go. Lisa Goddard on the Hill. Fantastic. I thought about calling her like Lacey Goddard or something at the end, just to kind of Rick Emerson laughs at his own human frailty. I didn't do that. All right. Hello. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. What?
What's it like to be crazy?
I don't know the answer to that. I'm not crazy. You're the one who's crazy. Let's, while we're...
Scotty J, this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say, except...
You're not going to amount to jack squat!
Scotty, please summon him to the studio.
Beam us up, Scotty.
End of message.
All right, let's now welcome to the Rick Emerson Show, PA Scotty J. Hello, sir. How are you on this fine day?
Excellent.
All right. I don't believe that you're telling the truth.
Scotty, you've looked so sad all morning.
Sarah says that you're sitting in your room looking morose.
No, the deal is I have to wait for a skimmer to download the previous day's show. Mm-hmm. Instead of it taking 10 minutes like it used to, it now takes 2 hours. Yeah. And so I have nothing to do but sit there and stare at the wall. And I'm thinking about putting up a poster of Anna Nicole Smith up there.
It's a poor workman who blames his tools, Scotty. No, we're working on that. Tim was talking about that. There is an issue, as they say, with some of the audio transfer in this building. That will be addressed. Not today, nor tomorrow, nor next week, but at some point in the future. So you're not sad today? You're not morose? And by morose and sad, I mean hungover.
He doesn't look hungover.
No, I'm not hungover. I could run a mile.
Okay. Before we do anything else, we got a break here in a few, but we have this. This is not our suburban perspective segment today, but somebody had asked me this question. And so this is sort of an ad hoc mini version of the suburban perspective. Pardon me. They said, pleased to be asking Scotty J. if he believes that Lisa Goddard is part of the liberal media.
Nope.
So why is Lisa Goddard not part of the liberal media?
I think somewhere deep down inside, she's got a little bit of Republican in her.
Really?
She's got, that sounded bad, didn't it?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, it did.
Well, I don't know.
I tried to fish it out, but it's stuck.
Yeah. I think some of her beliefs tend to be towards the right-hand side.
Such as?
I don't know.
Do you believe CNN? Maybe. Let me ask you this. Do you believe CNN to be part of the so-called liberal media?
Yes.
Okay. Now, what if? Okay. And then, so let's just we'll work our way from the outside in, okay. Like with forks. Okay. What about CNN to you indicates that they are liberal?
It just seems like a lot of their news stories have a left slant to it,
such as
I couldn't name a story. It's just a majority of the stuff that you read and the way that they report it.
It
is more of a Democratic view than it is a Republican view. Now, as far as Lisa, she seems to be fair and balanced.
Who am I kidding? We're just going to...
This isn't a perspective of any sort.
So you believe that CNN is liberal, but that Lisa Goddard is fair and balanced.
I think
I'm sure that she'd love the phrase fair and balanced. I'm sure that somebody at CNN would love that phrase being attached to them, by the way. Well, do you believe Lisa Goddard to be an accurate source of reliable information?
For sure. And if you've listened to her a few times on here, you can tell she'll play devil's advocate and she'll say both sides. So that's how I get this.
Were you listening a couple minutes ago when she said that all of the stated reasons for going to Iraq have been proven to be false?
No, I wasn't. I can play
it back for you if you'd like.
I usually
do. You believe Lisa Goddard to be a reliable and accurate source of information?
You know what? You ought to be a painter for a living, Rick, or a side job for extra money, because you're able to paint people into corners.
I'm simply
really
asking.
Well.
I'm merely asking. Having stated that you felt Lisa Goddard to be a reliable and accurate source of information, not liberal, to be fair and balanced, she said on this very fine radio program less than 10 minutes ago that all of the stated reasons for going into Iraq had been proven to be false. It takes as much time as you need to respond.
The thing is, that's a true statement, you know? It is a true statement. We all can admit that there were mistakes made along the way, but we're there now, and so we got to take care of business.
Please tell me you didn't just pronounce business as B-I-D apostrophe N-E-S-S.
That's the hip way they say it in the verbs.
That's how you spell it, isn't it?
Uh-huh. You really could be a politician, though. That was pretty great, because you just immediately, with a wave of your hand, like years and billions of dollars worth of mistakes, you just like write them. Well, Rick, let's not dwell on who did what and who was wrong about what information. We're there now. So
that's kind of what they do. Majority of the time. Politicians
in
general.
All right.
Both sides.
So moving forward, we can acknowledge from this point on that you agree that all of the stated reasons for the war were incorrect.
Okay, again.
I just want to establish this so we don't need to revisit it.
Yeah, here's the problem is you always use these words that are like, concrete, cement, whatever.
I use words that are cement.
Yeah. Words that like... everything and all of the reasons why we're there. There's a couple of reasons why we're there.
We had stated reasons for going there.
No, I will not say that all of the stated reasons for going there were a mistake, because first of all, we needed to get rid of Saddam. He was like a mole on a cheek that you just don't want to look at anymore.
Okay. Is that it?
Yeah.
Okay. You hungover?
No.
Okay.
I was yesterday, though, and you didn't even know it, so I got one by you.
We were busy with a dead blonde. All right. We're back after this, ladies and gentlemen. The AM 970 noon news hour around the corner. That's not even the official suburban perspective. You got another one coming up later on today. Plus the top five, Jim Roop, Ed McCarthy, Scott Daly. It all begins next. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show.